Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
This morning, Vice President Mike Pence rolled up his sleeve, got the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine, and thanked the doctors who gave it to him.
I didn't feel a thing. Well done, and we appreciate your service to the country.
And on Capitol Hill, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he's optimistic that a coronavirus relief deal to help people struggling during the pandemic is close at hand. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Jesse Holland is a host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
And Beth Fooey. I am well, thank you. And Beth Fooey is Senior Politics Editor at NBC News. Hi, Beth. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, millions of people are desperate for coronavirus relief. One of them is unemployed house cleaner Beverly Vonderstock of Steelville, Missouri, who told us what she would say to lawmakers who've taken months to negotiate another relief bill.
If anything, I would want to tell them is they need to just hurry up and, you know, I'm trying to get a job. It's not like I'm just sitting here every day. And when you have $100 a week of income coming in and, will you decide, do you want to feed your family or pay your bills or, you know, what do you do?
It's so hard to hear her. And she's one of so many Americans who are dealing with this in this situation right now. Democrats are calling any deal a down payment. Republicans are talking about keeping costs down. Beth, what calculations is each side making in trying to get this done?
Well, that soundbite you just played from that woman is just so heartbreaking. And it just reminds you of how much of a disconnect exists right now between the members of Congress who are allegedly negotiating a new deal, although we still haven't seen anything yet, and millions of Americans who are either unemployed, semi-employed, businesses that are just barely hanging on. This is a major crisis. This is a time for government to act. If there's ever a time for government to act is when we are in the middle of a crisis of this magnitude. And Congress did the right thing back in the spring by passing through a very large stimulus relief bill back in March. It helped keep millions of Americans afloat. It helped keep businesses afloat. But most of those provisions have died out at this point, and many of them months ago. And a few more are going to go out of business on December 26th if Congress doesn't act. So it's very strange that politicians of either side of the aisle would not just jump on board and recognize the urgency here. This isn't a time to talk about austerity or when we're going to reduce our debt or deficit. We are in a crisis situation. This is what government money is for. And the fact that it has been so hung up on things that really don't ultimately matter all that much when it comes to the fate of Americans' homes and livelihoods just a couple days before Christmas is pretty astonishing.
We have seen some unusual political bedfellows, progressive Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and conservative Missouri Senator Josh Hawley joined forces to push for stimulus checks. Jesse, your thoughts on this?
Well, here's the thing. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was not a fan of doing a bill at all from the beginning. But in Georgia, with Republican Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler tied up in a close race with two upstart Democrats. And those races are going to decide whether Majority Leader Mitch McConnell keeps his position as Majority Leader. They're finding out that in Georgia, the Democrats are really pounding the Republicans for not getting something done earlier and for not getting this bill done. So we're seeing a bigger push from Mitch McConnell to get something through to help out his colleagues in Georgia to maybe to blunt some of the effects that not having COVID relief has put on their reelection campaigns. So now we're seeing both sides trying to push something through. The question is still, how much money are they willing to put in that relief bill?
Yes, and I think we'll be watching Mitch McConnell. Right. And Mitch McConnell actually put it this way. He said that the GOP incumbent senators in Georgia are getting hammered by their Democratic opponents in the runoffs for not
delivering a stimulus deal that includes direct checks. I want to move on now to Joe Biden's pick for New Mexico Democratic Congresswoman Deb Haaland to be his Interior Secretary. If she's confirmed, she'll be the first Native American to lead the Interior Department, another Biden cabinet member focused on climate change. And it would at least temporarily further the very narrow lead that Democrats hold in the House. We'll see about who would replace her if she does indeed get the position. What's being said about the choice of Haaland?
It's definitely historic. We've never seen a Native American cabinet member, and certainly the Interior Department has a sort of fraught relationship over the years with the Native American community because it controls so much of America's public land. You know, Joe Biden is doing what he said he was going to do. He's making history with a lot of these cabinet picks, including Deb Haaland, and he's also being very clear that climate change and environmental degradation, and certainly the environmental challenges that are faced by people of color more than others, has been on his mind. He's making good on promises that he made during the campaign.
And also, I'd like Jesse, you to comment on this. Biden also picked North Carolina environmental regulator Michael Regan, who, if confirmed, would become the first African-American to lead the EPA, signaling an emphasis on environmental justice. How are Republicans reacting to this? Are they gearing up to block some of Biden's picks?
Well, once again, it all depends on those Georgia runoffs. If the Democrats take the Senate with Vice President Kamala Harris as the deciding vote, then we don't have to worry about President Biden's, whether Republicans can block President Biden's picks because they'll have the majority.
But let's say
if that doesn't.
Yeah, right. And let's say that may not happen. So let's say it doesn't.
So if it doesn't happen, we have to keep in mind that, first of all, most presidents get carte blanche with their first picks, unless it's someone egregiously outside of the mainstream. It would be very hard for a Senate to tell a president that you can't have your own people. Right now, it doesn't seem like President-elect Biden has chosen anyone that the Republicans are willing to say right now that this person is unacceptable. So right now, and once again, I keep saying right now because we never know what's going to pop up in the media in the next couple of days. Right now, it seems like most of President Biden's picks will go through.
I want to ask you, too, about something else. So Biden spoke with CBS Late Show host Stephen Colbert about the Justice Department's investigation of his son Hunter's taxes. Let's listen.
We have great confidence in our son. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play. But look, it is what it is. And he's a grown man.
Beth, your thoughts on this whole investigation. Is he going to be able to brush this off so easily?
Well, it's been very unclear to me how anything that Hunter Biden may have done connects in any way to his father. I mean, obviously, you could certainly say that Hunter Biden may have traded on his name to get some of the positions that he got. But whether Joe Biden was involved in any of the activities that the Justice Department is investigating or that congressional investigators looked into, nobody's come up with anything. There's been no connection made whatsoever. And this thing has already been fairly thoroughly investigated. So, you know, it's going to go through. It is a little awkward, obviously, that it's an ongoing investigation that will continue under the President Joe Biden. But it's unless Joe Biden is somehow implicated directly in anything that Hunter was doing that was considered to be questionable or nefarious, I don't see how it touches the presidency at all.
Jesse, we're about halfway through this presidential transition. Trump still has not conceded and still claims fraud. Do you think that Biden's message is cutting through? Is Trump's voice diminishing?
Well, of course, it's going to diminish as we get closer to Inauguration Day when he'll become former President Trump. What we see now, however, is a bit of a resistance showing up in the government. We found out today that the newly appointed defense secretary is telling the Pentagon not to participate or not to coordinate with the Biden transition. So there are still some segments of the Trump administration that are still trying to fight to make it as hard as possible for President-elect Joe Biden to come in. And it doesn't seem like President Trump himself will ever actually concede. He may end up leaving the White House, but we will probably never hear him say that he lost the election. That would reduce his power in the Republican Party, and that's the last thing that President Trump wants.
We don't have too much more time left, but Beth, I wonder if you can weigh in on the what intelligence officials are saying about this major espionage cyber hack of government and commercial networks by Russia. Does it surprise you that Donald Trump has not been talking about this?
Yeah, it's fairly shocking, actually, that he has not said a word about it. But let's face it, he's not talking about the pandemic that's killing 3,200 Americans every single day. He is not talking about any of the issues that, as president, he ought to be addressing. He seems to very much want to win a re-election to a job that he doesn't really intend to carry out. So it's sort of a strange strategy that he's focusing on the process of trying to get back into office, even though he is abdicating the responsibilities of president right now.
Thank you. That's Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News, and Jesse Holland, a host at C-SPAN's Washington Journal.
Thank you.
Thank you.